If you're still carrying student debt, cover your ears, because in just a few weeks' time, we'll get the next quarterly inflation number, and that will lock in just how much HECS accounts will expand by. University costs have been growing in recent years, and that's not helped by inflation, with growth rates pegged to CPI. Student debts increased by 7.1% last year, an average of around $1,700 being added to the accounts of each borrower. So, should we be having a discussion about a different way of doing things, or is this an overcorrection to a short moment in history? Andrew Norton is an ANU professor in the practice of higher education policy, and amongst those calling for change on the way student debt is being handled. He joins me now on Money News. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Scott.
So the total problem of debt held from education is growing exponentially. Why is this a problem?
So it means that particularly for people with large HELP balances, and we've got growing people who owe more than $50,000, they get very large indexation when inflation is high, such as the 7.1% that we talked about earlier. So this has caused a huge controversy and a lot of pressure to reduce the rate of indexation.
You know, some would argue, Andrew, that the students have used the services, they get the benefits of the education, therefore they should be able to pay back what is already a highly subsidised loan amount. What do you say to that?
Look, normally it is highly subsidised, but really the inflation helps offset the borrowing costs of the government. And we've been in this very unusual situation where the indexation is actually much higher than the bond rate, which is what the government's paying on their debt. So for the last couple of years, the government has really been making a profit out of indexation, which was never the policy intention. And so I think the government's probably going to be open to a different system.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about more on that in a minute, because the other thing is that HECS debts have, over the long term, traditionally been cheaper to finance, as you suggested, than bonds, than, say, a home loan, a car loan, personal loan, definitely credit card. So does a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic mean the whole system needs an overhaul?
Look, I think this problem is going to self-correct over the next couple of years, but it has kind of highlighted something we hadn't really thought about, which is as people have got higher and higher debts, this indexation matters in a way that, say, it didn't 20 or 30 years ago when people's balances were much smaller and, you know, might be 6 or 7%, but that was on a low amount, so it didn't really matter. But now, you know, there are people getting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 added to their debt.
So then what is the best model to calculate the interest on a HECS debt? Should it be the bond rate? Should it be a fixed rate? Should it be the wage price index, for example?
So the wage price index was suggested by this University's Accord report, which is a massive review of higher education policy. My difficulty with that is the wage price index is not reliably lower than CPI, because, you know, when CPI goes up, people seek wage increases, and that feeds back through into the wage price index. So my solution is a really simple one, which is simply to say we will have the lower of CPI or 4%. And so in the vast majority of years, it will be either the CPI figure, but in the occasional inflationary periods like we've had recently, it'll be capped at 4%. So when people are thinking about borrowing or planning their finances when they've already got a debt, that will give them certainty that 4% is as bad as it'll ever get.
Okay. Should this period be a wake-up call for more Australians to start paying down these debts? Because in some cases, people don't even know they have them, and it also may be the only debt they have.
Yeah, I think it's the indexation has certainly highlighted the costs of holding this debt, and we did in fact see a massive change in voluntary repayments. So 21-22, the voluntary repayments were $780 million. For 22-23, they skyrocketed $2.9 billion. So we can see that, you know, facing this 7.1% caused a huge behaviour change in people with their voluntary repayments.
Finally, Andrew, what would be your advice to students with soaring debts who may not even realise what their current balance is?
Look, I think one thing that's really highlighted here is, you know, this is a problem when you've got a large debt balance in the first place. I think a lot of people have been taking on debt without really thinking about indexation, how long it'll take to repay it. And so I really think it's, you know, people have to think very, very carefully about whether that course, particularly an extra postgraduate course, is going to be worth their while.
Andrew Norton, ANU Professor in the Practice of Higher Education Policy, thank you so much for joining me on this Monday night on Money News.
Thank you.